Welcome to Canucks Talk on Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd. My co-host, he's Thomas Drantz. He covers the team for The Athletic as well. We're broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in Step 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. This hour of Canucks Talk is brought to you by Rack Steel. You need forklifts that perform under pressure and pallet racking that maximizes your space. Visit them online at racksteel.com. What's up, Drantz?
Season's done.
Yes, it's over.
The book is written on the 2024-25 Canucks season, and I don't need to read it again.
Hopefully we don't get a sequel.
That was absolutely one of those books where you're like, I'm too deep in it to stop. But I'm not enjoying it.
You're hate reading it?
Yeah. So you're just like, I got to rifle through these last few chapters. You start doing like pretending you can speed read.
Do you ever do that? I almost never stop reading a book, even if I'm really not liking it. Okay. Like if it's like super long or something, okay, whatever, I'm not going to go. But if it's like a normal length book, I'll just keep reading it. But I end up reading books I hate way faster.
You
know what I mean? Because I'm just like, fine, let's just finish this. I hate it.
You know what? I read everything at the same speed. I'm not going to lie. I'm absolutely just like locked and loaded, get the information into my brain as quickly as possible, whether I'm enjoying it or not.
No, I just race through stuff I'm not enjoying because I'm like, I don't want this to continue.
Well, so you understand.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Oh, we'll open the whiteboard.
You really want to open the whiteboard. You are like looking with jealousy at my job, my role of opening the whiteboard.
Open it. Open the whiteboard.
This shows a book he doesn't like. He's trying to get right through it.
If we could speed up time and make the next 2 hours go by faster, I'd be all for it.
If people can listen in two times.
Unfortunately, we cannot do that.
And tomorrow.
Yeah.
I also want to make tomorrow go faster.
We will talk to Brendan Batchelor at 12:30. One kind of final look back at the season with Batch, look ahead to the summer, and I guess to tomorrow's media availabilities as well with Brendan Batchelor. And we'll start to turn our attention to the hockey that is going to be played from here on out, the Stanley Cup playoffs. Justin Cuthbert from the Fan 590 will join us at 1. We'll talk a lot of Battle of Ontario with him, maybe check in on the other Canadian teams in the playoffs with Justin Cuthbert as well. But as Drantz is so eager to do, let's right now go to the whiteboard.
All right now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, April 17th. And the headline is, as we said, it's over. The Canucks season ends last night, really in fitting fashion, with a 4-1 loss to the Vegas Golden Knights at home in the meaningless final game of the season. And I'm certainly not the first person to point this out, just kind of all of the things you saw last night that kind of summed up so much of what we saw throughout the season for the Canucks, you know, even down to their goaltender leaving with an injury in the middle of the game, right? And having to bring in the other guy and blowing a lead, a flat effort at home, all of those things.
Less than 20 shots on goal, baby.
Less than 20 shots on goal. That's a good one, right? Like a lot, so much of what we saw, like really, if you just took game one and game 82 of the season, you got a pretty good idea. You know what I mean? If you read the first chapter of the book and they were like, I'm just going to skip ahead to the end and see what happens, you got a pretty good sense of it.
I thought that game, first of all, Rogers Arena, sparse, quiet, felt like the fan base was discouraged last night. The game was played at a sub-preseason pace. And yet, I actually found some charm in it.
Good for you.
I actually found a few things that made me chuckle or that I enjoyed or that interested me as the game went along. Pew Suter gets to 25.
Yep.
Hilarious. Really upped his value with
awesome for him.
Fantastic.
Shout out to
for
Pew
him.
Suter, man.
Dude, and all of those goals are just like cleaning up loose change. I thought like the Canucks might have something in Garland, Hoglander, or Pew Suter if they're able to return. Yeah, let's be real, all three. Uh-huh. Well, there's question marks, I think, ones around all three, to be totally honest with you.
That's an interesting... So it would be a really interesting like third line scoring line.
Yeah.
But you're already paying Connor Garland $5 million, and who knows what you're playing Pew Suter
if and you keep bringing him back.
And Hoglander's going up to three.
Okay, so it's a like, low-end second line.
Yes. Anyways, you're right. Like, I like it, but it's not going to be cost effective as a third line.
It's the, well, I don't know, man. In a $90 million cap world, you can pay you can have a $12 million third line.
Sure. Depending on what you do with the rest of it, I guess. Yeah. Anyways, we don't need to get hung up on that.
I like that. I love how effective Pew Suter is, despite being one of the most stationary players in the NHL. It really amuses me. Just a really fun, really smart player who had a tremendous two-year run with the Canucks. I enjoyed that. 2-on-1 for Vegas. And the defender, I can't remember which Canucks defender it was, misplays it. Open passing lane. But it's Tanner Pearson with a chance to stick it to his former team. And there was never a question that he was going to shoot it. Like, he was always shooting it. Took the shot. Kevin Lankinen made the save. It was relatively early in the game. Same thing happens the other way. Joshua and Kiefer Sherwood is the puck carrier. Kiefer Sherwood on 19 goals. No chance that Kiefer Sherwood was going to pass it. Rifled it. And it was saved by Akira Schmid. Enjoyed both of those moments tremendously, right? It's like, the game doesn't matter that much. You know, like, there's neither of those gentlemen, like Kiefer Sherwood in a game where the Canucks needed to win to make the playoffs, is passing that puck every time out.
I mean, Kiefer Sherwood shoots a lot.
And he should.
So I don't know about that.
Okay.
But a lot of the time.
More likely he would have. Because the defender, in both instances, the player would have passed it because the defender misplayed it.
Right.
And in both instances, the shooters were like, you know what? I really want this. I'm calling my own number. Loved that. Kiefer Sherwood running around, racking up hits. Now, to some extent, he's inflating his own NHL record.
Got to protect the record, man. Got to pad that record.
But I saw enough flat, lifeless Canucks performances that I don't really care. I like just seeing a guy go out there and be a jerk and work hard. Mm-hmm. At any cost, I'll just take that, given what this season felt like. However, he threw that hit on Jack Eichel in the corner, and Eichel winced a little bit and got legitimately mad. He was legitimately annoyed to have been hit like that in a game with no stakes. He was like, bro, this is a no-hitter for everyone else. And he's right, by the way. And immediately, and for the first time all game, Jack Eichel's like, I had enough of this on the perimeter. And he goes straight to the net, and he fully out-muscles Filip Hronek, and he deflects a 3-1 goal home. And he celebrates briefly with his teammates and then barks the entire way back to the bench at Kiefer Sherwood. That is a top player operating at the absolute apex of his powers in this league. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, just like, oh, okay, you want me to turn it on then? And then immediately goal. It's just like, wow, that is so sick. What an incredible moment. I really enjoyed that. And then, of course, Sherwood got into it again with Nick Hague in the third period. So the dynamic of Kiefer Sherwood, like, struggling through. Did you catch this? Because I tried to I did this a few times this season where you'd see a Canuck player still kind of grinding away in a relatively hopeless or losing situation, and I'd occasionally feed it to talk just to see if he'd, like, accept it.
Yeah.
As, like, proof of hope, you know, proof of progress, proof of something. So I did it again last night, and did you hear his answer?
Well, you asked him about specifically Sherwood annoying those guys, right?
And
I remember the question. I got to be honest, I don't remember the answer.
It's fine. What it means just to have guys still working despite the low stakes of the game. Like,
right.
Does that
right.
mean something to you? And he was like, yeah, you know, I liked it, but also we have the empty net, and there's three guys not moving their feet.
Yeah. Well, again last night, it's like, hey, you know, I really liked Yogi. How's the game plan? It's like, well, obviously we didn't execute it. So
wild.
There's some frustration there, even at game 82 for talking.
One, and you know, with the no one's moving their feet late, so what do I, like, how much can I enjoy that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that, I thought, as much as everything else, like, talk its frustration bubbling to the surface with sort of just the, I don't know, like, lack of jam of his players. I think that's another one that really summarizes the whole season. So, look, it was a meaningless game. The Canucks lost decisively, but there was actually a few moments of charm that I was able to take from it.
And there is a good point. You know, we have been, I don't want to say whining, but some of our listeners might use that word, about the lack of intensity, the lack of stakes over the last couple of weeks here as we've seen. What?
Criticizing.
Sure.
Annoyed by.
Lamenting.
Yeah, oh yeah. Lamenting in a major way.
The fancy way of saying whining. We were lamenting it.
laminating. We were laminating it.
But, I mean, you make a good point. It's still NHL hockey, and there's still either, there's going to be something interesting that happens in almost every game, and there's things you can learn. There's things, if you're obsessed with trying to figure out what's going to happen next with this Canucks team, where it's going and all of those things, there's still bits of data you can pick up from even a game like that. As you're, like, and I think that point you make about Tocchet after the game is a really good one.
Like Linus Karlsson probably having an inside track at a fourth line role.
Yeah.
Did you catch Rick Tocchet drop a Thomas Holmstrom comp on
absolutely.
Linus Karlsson?
I don't know how we didn't talk about that, but that was incredible. I was like, all right.
I mean, I don't know, man. I think Linus Karlsson's going to need to do 100 years of squats before I accept that comp.
It's got to widen out a little bit.
He's got to widen out a little bit. Thomas Holmstrom, man, you're standing right next to him and you're 5 feet away from his head. Like, he's such a wide-bodied guy. So some work to do there. I still think the Thomas Holmstrom comp is Gabe Vilardi.
All right.
Yeah, that's my Thomas Holmstrom comp. But Linus Karlsson. Like, Linus Karlsson's a perfect, like, we sometimes hype up guys, you know, toward the end of the season. Like, Victor Mancini, for me, didn't play all that well in the opportunities that he got, which isn't to say that if you watched him and liked the size-speed combo and some of the aggressive stuff he tried offensively, you're wrong. I'm not saying that. There was stuff to like, but he didn't look... Put it this way. They asked me on the morning show. They were like, what about Filip Hronek as a trade chip? And I'm like, I didn't like Mancini's game enough to even consider that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't... I want to see them play Tyler Myers in a second pair role, you know, with like Volander and hopefully Mancini, like trying to track him down for minutes. Like, that's what I want to see. I don't want to see Tyler Myers affixed to Quinn Hughes on the top pair.
No.
Playing 25 minutes a night. Not because he can't do it. We saw for large stretches of the season that he can. It's that I think you're best off if he's playing a more prescribed role. So anyway, my point being, that's like a data point that matters, but how exciting is that?
Yeah. No, it's thin gruel. Other interesting note from the game, from the proceedings at least last night, Elias Pettersson and Tyler Myers, of course, both injured, shut down for the season, but it's fan appreciation night. They're there. They do the ringside interview to express their appreciation for the fans. And Elias Pettersson saying, you know, it's a true blessing playing here, that he's really grateful being here. We'll see how long he remains here, depending on how the offseason goes.
Bit of a mixed reception from the fans, too, when he started speaking.
Understandably. And I will say, you know, credit to him. I couldn't have been a massive surprise that there was a bit of a mixed reception for him, given his contract and his performance this year. So credit to him for showing up and doing it. Right.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have to do that. It could have been just Tyler Myers.
He's always taken a lot of time for the fans. I mean, one thing you've got to say about Pettersson, like, ever since he first showed up here, takes a lot of time to sign autographs and training camp. You know, he's a very accessible player from a public facing perspective. So I'm not surprised. That's very much in character
now
for Pettersson.
For some reason, we're becoming the like Thatcher Demko tinfoil hat show. So we had of long tenured Canucks down.
We're the Thatcher Demko tinfoil hat show. You think?
Well, we're edging in that direction.
Is it because I grilled Landon about it yesterday? Okay, that put us over the top.
We're getting there. We're getting there. So of the long tenured, you know, high profile, and I'll throw Tyler Myers in there. He's pretty high profile at this point. I mean, he's tall. Members of the Canucks who have been shut down for the season. Elias Pettersson's there addressing the crowd. Tyler Myers there addressing the crowd with him. Is it too conspiracy theory to note no address from Thatcher Demko at the final game of the season? And the only reason I would bring it up is because both Pettersson and Myers in the same situation, long tenured guys who've been shut down for the year, they were there doing it. Now, maybe they said, hey, we only need two of you. I'm just throwing it out there since we are the conspiracy theory Thatcher Demko show now. That's right. That's right.
Wow, the truth is out there. I mean, here's the real truth, though, Jamie. It's not like every Canucks player with profile who was ruled out for the season was like absent, was there. It was not like a group shot. It was two guys.
There
was no Filip Hedl.
Yeah. Filip Hedl? Filip Hedl's played 15 games for the Canucks.
Neil Zaman?
Yeah, Neil Zaman. You're
I didn't
right.
see Neil Zaman.
You're right. You're right. So Neil Zaman and Filip Hedl weren't there. So there you go. Case closed.
Hey, Canucks fans.
I'm just saying, Thatcher Demko's a little bit closer to Elias Pettersson.
Neil Zaman and Filip Hedl. Like, thanks, fans.
You imagine? It was like, and they just want to say how much they enjoy playing with you.
Interesting. He was there, though. He was in the Patty O'Neill shot.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I really just brought that up to continue the bit.
It's a good bit.
I'm not actually trying to start anything here.
It's a good bit. I'm just not used to seeing a guy shut down a week in advance with illness. I've just never seen it.
Yeah.
And at some point, we've just had too much weirdness over the course of this season that I feel like I've had to be polite about, or like, you know, I come back to the Miller one where the 10 game absence was completely independent of the NHLPA, and it was just such a red flag, mm-hmm. but it was such a difficult subject to unpack because Canucks fans understandably were like genuinely concerned for like the health of this player from a mental health perspective and on, and not that they shouldn't have been. I think that was a completely reasonable reaction, but if it had been like a mental health crisis the way we've seen with previous players, the player assistance program covers that.
Yeah.
So it was incongruous. And so I don't know. I sometimes just feel like when things don't add up for me, I need to be more deliberate about flag planting of like, hey, that seems odd.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying there's anything there. There's probably a story. I'll dig into it at some point. I hope we find out tomorrow, but ruling a guy out a week in advance with illness is just not something I see regularly.
So last note in the headlines, and we can use this to pivot to the broadsheet as well. Players will talk to the media on Friday. Now we're waiting to see when Jim Rutherford, Patrick Alvin, and Rick Tocchet will speak with the media. IMAC, in his kind of year-end wrap piece after the game last night, included a little detail in there that suggested they could talk either over the weekend or early next week even, which is very interesting. And I do wonder how much of that uncertainty around the timing and the potential for it not being till early next week. And of course it is Easter weekend coming up, so that could throw a wrench in things as well. But I do wonder how much of that is about a kind of, I don't want to say last ditch effort because it could extend beyond this, but a blitz, an all out blitz to try to get Rick Tocchet signed so you can go and have the, you know, all three of them, the three key figures in leadership in the organization there, Tocchet, Rutherford, and Alvin, addressing the media, united, aligned, et cetera, signed, all of that at the same time, and maybe giving themselves a little bit of wiggle room and flexibility on the date of the media availability to make sure they have time to get that done, or at least time to try to get it done, because it is a lot different.
So you're suspecting that maybe we don't hear from management this weekend.
Yeah. And the only reason I said that again is because IMAC in his piece said either this weekend or early next week.
Maybe.
And I thought that was interesting. And so, hey, let's just take the weekend. Let's grind it out, get in a room, see if we can get it done. And then we'll talk Tuesday or something.
The longer this drags on, I think the more interesting it gets from the perspective of this unwinding versus the club just landing their guy and proceeding.
Mm-hmm.
No muss, no fuss, as I've been saying.
Yep.
Right? It just feels like one of those that if it drags out, it's more complicated than money in terms.
Even Tocchet last night was very much
talking about a checklist.
Yeah, there's a checklist. Like, just like guys who are free agents, you got to make sure everything is, like, you got to go through the checklist. That doesn't sound like a guy who's just like, oh, well, if they just give me a little bit more money, then boom, it's done.
Yeah.
Right? It's what we've been hearing this whole time.
And he also said there's a process. Part of it's negotiations, but part of it's, we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, you know what?
There could be some pretty in-depth conversations over this weekend between those three, I think.
History indicates that the Canucks usually get their guy. I think they've saber-rattled a bit on in terms of exercising their rights and their option, and I don't think that's just bluster, even if it's not the optimal solution here. Mm-hmm. So it's a complicated one in some ways. You know, like this has a chance to be a complicated one.
Austin and Langley just put out... Jamie Dodd, do we read into Demko not being there to address the crowd like Myers and Pettersson on Twitter? So I'm being radioed for my joke conspiracy theory Demko take. So that's great.
Classic.
That's fun.
I mean, as I said to you, neither was Filipetl.
Yeah,
neither. And I'm not reading
into
that.
Right there. So Neil Zaman wasn't there either. So, hey, how much can you really read into it?
Yeah. Neil Zaman.
Okay. So, and the other things we'll be following, obviously, over the course of the next couple days until they're resolved anyways. Tom Volander, which continues just to, I mean, you'd have a better sense of this than me, but from what I can tell, it's just no news. Status quo, they're in a staring contest. Doesn't seem to be any real urgency on either side to get it done. Still doesn't seem like there's a reason to really fret about like the relationship falling apart or anything like that, but just kind of we're in a holding pattern here with Volander and the Vancouver Canucks. And I think with the Canucks obviously having Tocchet as a front burner issue. We'll see if that extends the holding pattern on Tom Volander a little bit more as well. Lineup notes here. So post the NHL regular season finishing up, the Canucks assigned the following players to Abbotsford, and it's a big list. Kirill Kurjavcev, Victor Mancini, Atu Ratu, Linus Karlsson, Max Sassen, Ty Mueller, and Nikita Tolopilo. So they will all have the chance to go down, rejoin the Abbotsford Canucks, and compete in the Calder Cup playoffs. A big set of reinforcements coming for Manny Malhotra and the Abbey Canucks. Notably not on that list because he couldn't be is defenseman Elias Pettersson. He wasn't papered down to Abbotsford at the trade deadline, so he's not eligible for the Calder Cup playoffs. So his season is done. I know you've mentioned maybe the World Championships could be an option for Elias Pettersson representing Sweden, but for all of those guys, and I think especially you look at, you know, Linus Karlsson, who we said, okay, maybe inside track for a fourth line role next year. Atu Ratu, I think generally we were pretty impressed with what he did at the NHL level. You would love to see them take that and go and dominate, really be difference makers at the AHL level for Abbotsford.
Yeah, you know, the Atu Ratu thing we'll unpack at greater length, but given the Canucks' needs down the center of the center, significant needs, emergency level needs. The fact that Atu Ratu looked like a guy, looked like a dude down the stretch is actually meaningful to me in a lot of ways. I actually liked his fit with Sherwood and Joshua. Now, if that's your third line, I think you're fine with that, for example.
Sure. I mean, I think depending on what you get from Ratu, but the idea of Joshua and Sherwood on your third line, like I'm interested in that.
Yeah,
that sounds
too
fun. Like a return to form Joshua and Kiefer Sherwood on the same line. Sure.
With Ratu, though, you don't like the Ratu part of it?
I like it.
You prefer
theory,
with the Hedl part of it.
Probably.
Yeah, me too. But at least it gives you an option. Anyway, Ratu spent a lot of time this season playing between Max Sassen and Linus Karlsson, and I'd expect basically you're just adding a top line to this Abbotsford Canucks team that's played so well down the stretch. Pretty nice. I also,
and Mancini and Kudryavcev as well.
Yeah.
Like, and Nick Tolofilo. Like, that's a massive, massive group of reinforcements coming.
It is. It really is. Yeah. Look, this Abbotsford run could be fun, and man, that would be something the Canucks could certainly use.
It would be great. I haven't looked at the exact final kind of permutations of the AHL standings. I know there's always the possibility that your Calder Cup playoff run could end so fast. I hope that's not the case, and I hope they at least get it to really feel like more of a run and get these guys, you know, 8, 9, 10-plus games in the playoffs to have a chance to see what they can do there. And finally, I'll just note, you know, final standings update of the season. The Canucks finish in 10th place in the Western Conference with 90 points, 1 point ahead of Utah. Could be as many as 6 points behind the Flames, depending what the Flames do in their final game tonight. So 10th place, a big fall, a 19-point drop from last season for the Vancouver Canucks. Anything quick you want to hit in the gambling odds? I mean, I think we'll do like playoff preview stuff over the back half of this show and maybe a little bit tomorrow, depending on media availabilities and stuff. But we can finish up the whiteboard here.
Yeah. No, I don't have anything.
All right, very good. All right, that is the whiteboard for today. Up next, Brendan Batchelor joins us here on Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650.
That's like a data point that matters.
Yeah. No, it's thin gruel.
You're serving us gruel?
Not quite. This is Krusty Brand imitation gruel. 9 out of 10 orphans can't tell the difference.